Welcome back to Inside the County Board, broadcast at 9 p.m. the first Sunday of every month on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm Harold Mester, joined in the studio by Milwaukee County Supervisor Joe Sanfilippo. Joe, thanks for coming by again.
Harold, thank you very much for the invitation. And welcome to District 17.
Yes, it's always nice to be in your district. I worked here for several years. Of course, that was before you were on the board, but we wanted to have you on to talk about your blueprint for restoring financial solvency within Milwaukee County government. Now, this has been generating some headlines, some talk, some discussion, both positive and negative, within the county board and beyond. And we wanted to give you an opportunity to provide some more of the background on what prompted you to first off, what prompted you to come forward with this report.
First of all, I'm very concerned about the structural deficit that Milwaukee County is facing. And it's one of the very first reports I read when I was elected to the board back in 2008. And I've read many reports afterwards that have been this warning call telling us, you know, we have the structural deficit. It's a long-term problem. We need to address it. And it seems as though, you know, although I've only lived through two budget cycles so far, it seems as though every approach we've taken so far has just been a temporary fix. And if we don't take the permanent fixes that we need to eliminate the structural deficit, we're going to end up in a position where we are starting to cut core services because you can't raise taxes enough to even cover the structural deficit right now. Even if you were going to say that's our approach, we'll just raise taxes, you couldn't do it. The increase would be way too big. And we need to start taking a good hard look at what the problems are and start talking about it and coming up with solutions. And the decisions are not going to be easy. It's going to require a lot of work and a lot of cooperation. I put the report out in August. I'm very proud of what I've done, but I'm not for one minute trying to say that I have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. There's 18 other supervisors on this board. A lot of great staff that works down there at the county. What I want to do is get a conversation starting and say, let's start attacking this problem.
Now, there have been some changes that have helped reduce. We still have a structural deficit, but there have been some that actually have produced some long-term benefit to the county. We have had some pension changes that affect non-reps and some of the unions, and now after Thursday, some of the elected officials. And we'll mention that in our next segment. We give an update on that. We've also seen some positive changes in our health care. And you know, there are some variables here that are at play that have reduced our structural deficit, but it still exists. And there are some other things that you want to do that you're proposing. And we don't have a lot of time to spend on each item in your blueprint here, but there were a few that I wanted to pick out in particular, and one of those is just the way that we do budgeting. And yes, you're suggesting moving from a baseline budgeting standpoint to a performance-based budgeting. Can you describe what that is?
Yes, performance-based budgeting, which is also referred to sometimes as zero-based budgeting, it means that each year when you prepare your budget, rather than starting out with what the department got the prior year and building on that, you actually start at zero. And so what it does is it forces each department to justify every dollar that they spend. And by doing it that way, you're getting better accountability and better results for the amount of money. By dealing with a baseline budget system, what happens is when you start having money problems like we're having right now, you end up instituting across-the-board cuts. And so your good departments that are working very hard and doing good with their money end up having to sacrifice to prop up the departments that maybe aren't doing as well. And that's one of the problems that you have with baseline budgeting. Another problem with baseline budgeting is that it just automatically keeps growing government. If you start at a single base, every year you add to it. When times are good, the money just flows, government grows, everything seems to hum along fine. But then when you hit a recession like we're having right now, you need to get into a real bind because now you've grown government, not because you needed to grow it, but just because you could grow it.
Okay, so as we move forward here, and I want to get to some of the other parts of your plan, You talk about strategic planning, and you mentioned that Supervisor Jurczyk is doing some hard work on strategic planning.
Supervisor Jurczyk's done a great job with this committee so far. They spent a year on it, taking a look at each department, and it's something that it's a vital process. It doesn't have a finished date, though. Strategic planning needs to constantly go on, and it needs to change as the circumstances in the government change.
Now, you're proposing to move to the HSAs, the health savings accounts, and also change the pension plan and move into a 401k style plan.
Yes. In 2010, we're going to spend for benefits 94% of what we're paying in wages. So basically what that means is for every one employee we have working, we're paying for two people almost. There's no way we are ever going to solve this county's structural deficit problem without reforming the cost of our benefits. And the pension and health care are obviously two of the biggest. We have to take a look at both of these. What's been done in the past has led us down a path that is unsustainable, and it's forcing us to make cuts in other areas. And the best way for us to protect county jobs and to keep being able to provide the services is to make those jobs affordable. And by reforming the wages, we'll be able to make those jobs affordable.
Now, some of the other members on the board have criticized these kind of attempts to change things because they say, well, it should go through an actual negotiation process and have a give and take with the unions of the county and try to make these things happen. Now, you serve on the personnel committee. Is this something that you're going to be bringing up as a member of that committee?
Yes, I have a couple different things working that I'm working on right now, and I have some people working on helping me put some numbers together. But I do plan on presenting a specific proposal to the personnel committee. First thing I'm going to tackle is the pensions, primarily because with the changes coming in the federal health care, I'm not quite sure how that's going to affect the HSA regulation, so I've decided to focus on one. One of the reports we had gotten back in July from our actuarial firm that consults for the county, Buck Consultants, showed us that just by closing the defined benefit program and switching to a defined contribution form of pension, in the first 5 years of a change, we could save over $100 million for the county. I mean, that is a sizable amount of money, and it's something that we have to take a look at.
Now, some supervisors have said it's actually... they believe it's illegal to try to get these kind of changes made without going through union negotiation. You know, we've seen the county executive put some changes in the budget. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, I'm not saying that we unilaterally just impose these changes. I mean, obviously, we have to sit down with the union and we need to negotiate them. But we have to have a starting point somewhere. Somebody has to throw an idea out there and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Let's sit down and talk about it. You know, and so I just want to keep making the point. I mean, the best way for the union and for the county to protect the jobs of the workers is to make those jobs more affordable. Nobody would rather want to outsource a job or privatize a job just for the sake of doing it. You do it because you're forced to do it for savings. Now, if we could do that work with our own county employees at a cost similar to what we're paying for in the private sector to do it, we would have no need for outsourcing and privatization. But we're being forced into it purely for economic reasons.
You said that if the service can be found in the Yellow Pages, you should have the private sector provide the service.
Yes, we should look at the private sector providing the service. Because what happens is if government, in fact, it's kind of interesting, as I was researching to write this, I found a quote from Mario Cuomo, who's a former Democrat governor of New York, and he said, "It's government has a responsibility not to provide services, but to see that services are provided." And the approach always in the past has always been that whatever is needed by the county, we have to do it ourselves. And so I'm saying you look in the Yellow Pages. If you can do it in the private sector, if it makes sense, you're going to get at least the same quality or better, and you're going to save money, go to the private sector. If you can do it better in-house, you do it in-house, but we have to at least look at it.
Let's talk about county buildings. There are a number of cases and examples you have cited in your blueprint. For instance, the city campus consolidating criminal justice facilities downtown. We have the Department of Aging that's over at the Royce Federal Building. we have these things scattered all over the place, and you see an opportunity to centralize some functions, and especially with the Department on Aging, to get them back into a county facility at least.
Yes, it's something that, you know, you take a look, we have buildings that are 50% utilized or less, and then we're turning around and we're leasing space in a building downtown and spending $750,000 a year to pay that rent. It just doesn't make any sense. What I suggest is that we take a complete inventory of every building and every piece of property the county owns, and we look at it to say, are we utilizing it to its full capacity? Is it in good condition? Should we continue to operate that facility? And if we run into, you know, find out that we don't need all these buildings or they're too inefficient to use, we need to consolidate space and we need to start disposing of property that we don't need. The more property we hold as a county, first of all, you have to maintain and pay operating costs on those properties. But more importantly, when those properties are in government hands, they're not out there producing in the economy. And by that, I mean, when it's held by a private individual, you're collecting property taxes on it. That benefits not only Milwaukee County, but it benefits the particular municipality that particular property is in, as well as the school boards and MMSD and MATC, and everybody benefits. So that property would do much better in private hands.
Let's talk about mass transit. You have some ideas on how to modernize the Milwaukee County transit system beyond how it currently looks with the standard buses. You're looking at a mix of other kinds of vehicles for that.
Right. If you take a look at our bus system, we're running it today basically the same way we ran it 50 years ago. And so much has changed in that time frame. You have, you know, the birth of the interstate highway system. You have suburbs, and people aren't all in a concentrated area anymore. And one thing that business has to do in order to survive is to adapt itself to the changing needs of its customers. We haven't done that with our bus system. What we need to do is redesign the system so that instead of running the same type of bus on every single route, we make these vehicles specific to the needs of that particular route. What's happening now is we're forced, because ridership has declined with the advent of the automobile, and everybody has two or three of them nowadays, ridership has declined, so therefore we've been forced to raise fares, and then that causes a more ridership decline. So we have this circle where we're spiraling down, and we need to not only stop that circle, but reverse it and say, what can we do to expand service and increase ridership? To do that, we need to make the system more convenient for the passengers. And by doing that, my idea is you run smaller buses on the routes that we have cut, and you expand those routes, and you use those lines and feed them into our main routes. You can enhance that with a BRT bus system.
And that's bus rapid transit.
Bus rapid transit, that's right. And you strengthen the system so that you're attracting people to it, not driving them away.
Okay, well, you've laid out a lot of ideas. I know we've kind of gone through it in a rapid fire succession here, but we're running out of time. I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you about on this is some folks have questioned whether you've put this report out to generate some sort of, you know, political capital for yourself. How do you respond to that?
I put this report out strictly because as a supervisor in Milwaukee County, it's my duty and my responsibility to help solve the problems this county is facing. I have no other inspiration or plans or desires to run for any other political office. I'm just merely looking at a problem that exists. For 2 years that I've been on this board, it seems to me, in my opinion, that we've all just been sitting on our hands and not addressing this problem. It's a serious problem, and I'm saying, let's attack it and get it solved once and for all.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Harold. I appreciate it.
Next month, we'll take a look at the blueprint and some other ideas and get some thoughts from other supervisors on what they would do to fix some of the long-term challenges facing Milwaukee County. Stick around. We'll preview next month's show when Inside the County Board continues on News Talk 1130 WISN.